Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
Welcome back to Inside Look at Legal. This is Seth White with your co-host, George Rozelle.
Hey, Seth. How's it going?
It's going great. So today we want to talk about an interesting topic, trial publicity. And I think George is a great person to talk about this because anytime I'm watching the local news, sometimes I'll see a case and I'll say, well, there's George's case. And it's happened multiple times in multiple cases. But George, so that's something that he has to be very conscious of and aware of in his practice.
Very true.
So what are the rules on attorney talking to the media?
Well, the first rule that I always go by that's not written down anywhere is that once we're investigating a case, if a reporter calls and asks about it, I'm always very hesitant to go too much into detail with them because, you know, we may still be in investigation mode and not know all the facts. And so I certainly don't want to tell them anything that may not be true or that we don't have reason to believe is true at that point. Secondly, though, I always speak to them off the record, if at all, because, you know, it's probably why, you know, you always see on the news, we reached out to them, got no comment, no comment, no comment. Well, my guess is that most of the time people don't have no comment. They just, or that they were available. It's just that they can't talk about it. And so in Arkansas, unlike other states, and so you'll see, you know, you've got Michael Avenatti and the case with in California right now, and he's all over the news talking about the case. In that case, I think under the Arkansas rules, that would actually be allowed because from what I understand about that case, it is they've asked for...
What is the Michael Avenatti?
Oh, he's the one with the case with President Trump out in California.
Oh, the Stormy Daniels.
Yes.
I think that would have jogged my memory better.
Yes, yes. Okay. But I think they've asked the court to make some declarations there, and they're not asking for a jury trial. And so the rules in place in Arkansas are primarily for the purpose of not affecting the impartial jury that we love so much. Okay, you know, it's so important to us with issue one that's coming up right now, the idea that a jury be the one to determine the damages that are involved in a case. What you don't want is for a party to be able to unfairly or unduly influence that jury beforehand by their statements in the media. You know, there are cases that certainly will gather and warrant media attention, and oftentimes they involve public officials, they involve municipalities, they involve the state, they involve state actors, they involve local businesses, and so you oftentimes have cases that will get that attention. And so it's really important for the lawyer to have a good relationship with the media so that they can call and they have a trust that's built as it relates to, you know, if I tell you something about the case, about where it is in the investigation, and I ask for you that to be off the record, that it stay off the record. And we have very good reporters, and not only the Democrat Gazette, the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, also our local television stations, they have great reporters there. I want to give them a lot of credit for, you know, how thoroughly they cover, you know, whether they're my cases or not, but the interesting cases in the area, because I think it's good to have an informed public about those cases, and that's the reason that our court system is generally open. You know, to the records are public. You know, typically who's involved, unless it's a certain type of case. But one thing that we do in our office is when we draft our pleadings, that are our, you know, and a pleading is a filing. Okay, so you know they say they got served with a complaint. Well, you want to make sure that your complaint is drafted. Not only very well, and, you know, typos happen and mistakes happen, and sometimes you see those and you go, ugh, I wish I'd caught that comma that was misplaced, or I wish that I'd, you know, seen something that I'm missing on my third or fourth review of the document, but that happens. But generally, we try to be very thorough with regard to the allegations in the complaint because we know that is the public statement that we're making. So, you know, some companies will issue press releases, you know, for immediate release. You'll please be advised that this and this and this is happening on this date, and a company has changed a policy, or they've done something, they've introduced a product or something. Well, our complaints are kind of like our press releases, and so what if a reporter calls and asks, of course I take the call, and I don't, you know, I don't like to give anybody the cold shoulder, and I say, you know, thank you for your interest in the case. I really appreciate it. I'd like to, you know, if you have any questions about where we are on the case, I'm happy to talk to you off the record. And the reason for that is that most of my cases are subject to jury trials. And even if I don't ask for one, the defendant in a case or the plaintiff in the case, you know, the opposite party, may have the right under the law to ask for a jury trial. And the same thing goes with criminal cases, too. I don't handle criminal cases, but I know Drew Miller does in our office, and John Boris does as well. And they handle all sorts of, you know, they handle, you know, white-collar crime in federal court. They handle felonies, and they handle alleged violent offenses. They handle all the way down to misdemeanors and DWIs and DUIs and traffic offenses in district court. And so any of those cases that may be traveled by a jury or may be subject to incarceration, the lawyers had to be very careful because they don't want to influence that impartial jury, because that would then, you know, take away from the fairness of our system, which is when we get 12 people into a room, we want them to be basing the information on the things that the judge says they need to base the information on, you know, because we have rules of evidence and we have other things that apply. And so we have a model rule of professional conduct in Arkansas. It's rule 3.6. If you want to Google it, you can. And it's all available on the Arkansas Judiciary website. But it talks about that if you're a lawyer and you're participating in the investigation or in the or litigation of a case, that you're not supposed to make outside statements that you think or know or have reason to know would be broadcast to the whole area, except for on certain topics. You know, those topics might be the information in the public record, like I talked about our complaint. They may be that we're investigating the case. It may be that you know, the case is in the discovery phase. But
so kind of a thought I had, and I assume it, I know the answer, but so sometimes you're talking to reporters and media and stuff, but there's also other ways to blast information. Does this apply to Facebook and Twitter? And
oh, don't get me started on Facebook and Twitter. It's scary because, you know, as a lawyer, I see cases across the country that, you pay attention to and you're interested in, and you might tweet about it or something. You might make a tweet or a retweet about it or something like that. And generally speaking, when it's not your case, you're free to do that. But it's a really hard disconnect to disconnect yourself from just being a regular or just a person on social media with the ability to say what you want to say, because it might state a position that it may be adverse to a client. It might be a position on a controversial area of the law. And so I think those, you know, follow you with regard to your practice of law and what you do. So, again, I think that any media that you can distribute or widely disseminate a statement, and you may say, well, gee, I'm only a person on Twitter and I have 15 followers. Well, that may not be so broadly distributed as it relates to having an effect on the public view. But what happens if all of a sudden those 15 followers grow to 10,000 as a result of the case that you just filed? In that instance, that statement then becomes a lot broader. And so our rules are built for evolving and for expanding and being able to be applicable to developing technologies. And the courts, of course, sometimes take those into considerations and will change the rules if they need to, which is so important as we've talked about issue one. When we talk about our rules and our rules of our judiciary.
And you said issue one. I don't know.
If you want to talk about issue one, you know, you and I have spoken about it on another podcast, and I welcome our listeners to click on that.
Yeah, I was going to refer them to that.
To click on that, because part of issue one is that the power and the ability to change the rules of the practice of the courts, which would probably include aspects of professional responsibility and trial publicity, would be shifted from the courts, which govern them now, and go through, you know, revisions and comments and public discussions about what the rules would be, to the legislature. And, you know, no matter what the basis for their decision to change a rule, they would have the ability to change it as long as they met certain criteria. And so what I like is that our courts have considered what the rules are. They've applied them over the course of time. They've developed them. They amend them. They have the ability to look at all of the history of the rule and to see how it's been applied and how it's impacted it. And I frankly like this rule about Arkansas. You know, Texas doesn't have, to my knowledge, a rule about trial publicity, for instance. And so the lawyers just get on the media and they have a media fight. I mean, they literally then just have fights between them yelling and screaming at the camera, And I think it can do it can degrade the viewpoint of the lawyer or the view of the lawyer from the public. And so I like it that I get to say, you know, I appreciate your call very much, and I really appreciate your interest in our case. We've taken very good care to draft these pleadings that we filed with the court. They're available online. You know, I'll point you to them if you need help finding them. But, you know, please take a look at that and treat that as our statement, because that's the statement that we've made, and we've taken a great deal of care to make sure that we've covered all of our bases in those documents that are available in the public.
Well, that's very enlightening on a very important topic for our justice system, and I appreciate you enlightening us, George.
Yeah, so if you call me or call Jenna Fogelman at our office, who works on cases with me, and she has some cases of interest, if you call any of our attorneys and they say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you on the record, please don't be offended. It's nothing about you. We're not trying to be rude, but we have rules we have to follow, and just like you do as well as a journalist. And if you wonder as a viewer, well, why isn't the lawyer on the TV with his client, you know, talking about this right now? Probably because, you know, we want to make sure that the process is as fair as possible for everybody involved.
All right. And if you do need to get a hold of our law firm, again, our number is 479-621-0006. And our website is arkattorneys.com. Thanks, George.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.